This is a HeadGum Original.
Many have said, this is not very well cited on Wikipedia, that when this song was released, and perhaps still, it's the longest note ever in a Billboard hit.
In a
Billboard hit.
Bill Withers did it. He sang the longest note.
No way.
And you're going to attempt.
I'm going to attempt to sing
the same note for the same length.
Yeah. The longest note.
Is the Guinness Book in the room?
In the history of podcasts. A lovely day. Okay.
Yeah. There's no chromatic move, though. It's just
a lovely day. Oh, it's really? No
chromatic? Are you going to sing?
A lovely day.
That's it.
Yeah, but don't stop. Don't start the timer till I hit the D of day. I have to sing the whole thing. Okay, right?
I'm so excited. It's very high stakes.
This is definitely helping.
Just imagine you're going through a tunnel.
A lovely day.
Come on.
It's too funny.
Come on. It's not. You chickened out. You laughed to get out of it. Oh, that's the timer going off.
I was nowhere near.
Not even, you went for 5 seconds.
God.
Wow.
The thought that was going through my head the moment before I started laughing, do you know what it was?
Don't laugh?
No, it was, I've got this. I'm basically there.
Yeah. This is like when you're in class and you're laughing at something that's not funny at all, but you're just laughing kind of because you're not supposed to.
That's like, exactly right.
I'm sitting in history class. I'm going to get in so much trouble, but I can't stop.
You got the church giggles.
I think I can do it, but I cannot. I cannot keep trying to sing an 18-second note for the rest of this podcast. We've got to move on.
Move on to what? What could be more important than this? We'll come back around to it.
Could be more compelling?
Let's set the table. Let's talk about what we're going to talk about. Let's talk about what even is this show? What even are we doing
what
here?
What is this show?
What the heck is this show?
What is this show?
Is this...
From the theme song, you may know this show is called Punch Up the Jam. It's a show where every week we take one of the greatest hits of all time. It could be a hit from the Billboard Hot 100. It could just be a beloved song.
Mm.
And we take that song and we make it even better. And we're very... I'm one of the hosts, Andrew Gregory. This is the other host, Evan Gregory. And we're very lucky this week to be joined... by our third brother, Michael Gregory.
Welcome to the show, Michael Gregory, also known as my brother, Andrew's brother, very accomplished YouTuber and musician, known online as Shmo Yoho, accent on the yo. Welcome to the show, Michael. Thanks for rejoining us.
It's an honor to be here again. Although the first time I've been in this room, because the other time we were just... in our studio.
And I wasn't there. You came in while I was on paternity leave twice,
yeah.
Right, Michael?
Yeah. I was helping fill in the gaps while you were gone.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to... People always ask us if there's another brother or another sister in the family. Obviously, in our group, the Gregory Brothers, there is a sister-in-law, Evan's wife, but maybe not. That's not obvious. And that's confusing. Anyway, I remember like when people used to ask us that, I would say like, yep. That's 100. We're 100% of the gene pool. Like this is it.
Yeah, there is not a fourth
There's
or fifth
a fourth person.
Sibling.
But I said that a couple years
to...
ago, and I was like, I don't think that's technically true anymore.
Why?
Because we've had kids. Gene pool's down a generation now. You know, maybe our specific gene pool. This is still that gene pool, but I don't know. Our genes are elsewhere now. We all have kids.
I got a stew on that.
You're thinking
a while.
About this. You're like,
yeah.
The gene pool of our family. Maybe this is the whole gene pool.
True. Yeah, I think when people ask you that, they aren't wondering about your grandparents or anything. Like, but where's your granddad?
Why isn't your granddad in your brother's group?
Why didn't you include him? He'd have a lot to say about Nat King Cole and Frank Sinatra.
Right. They're wondering who else grew up in your home with you.
They're wondering who are you hiding?
They're wondering who else can I bring in to make this sibling dynamic even more exciting and complete.
And
the answer is no one.
They want to know if we're hiding a normie.
Is there
a Frankie Jonas or a Cornelius Hansen?
Yeah.
You got to find out.
This is the full dynamic. Yeah. You have 100% of the sibling dynamic today.
And what are we here to do? We're here to talk about a seriously great hit. This is one of those classics that was a hit at the time, pretty big hit, but then grew over time. Unlike so many of those hits that make a splash
and then fade away, forgettably. This is one of those songs that grew over time. Lovely Day is now considered to be a classic of all time, Hall of Fame song. It's on the list of the 500 greatest songs of all time by Rolling Stone. People think of this as Bill Withers' signature track, and he's like beloved figure from all of American music. Lovely Day is like even better, more ripe today than it was when it came out 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah, Bill Withers is just hugely respected. Like many people see him as being an R&B singer. Like, I'm not sure that's how Bill Withers would have seen himself, but, you know, he's been inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's just one of the greats.
His songs age so well. And when I saw we were doing this song, I thought, how and why? Because if this is Punch Up the Jam, in the geography of Punching Up, if we're already very close to the North Pole on a sphere, mm-hmm. like soon after you start going up, you're really just going down. Mm. There is no up you can go on this song.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you start altering it, in any direction you move away from a perfect song is just, it's just getting less perfect.
Yeah, you go down in latitude.
Yeah, this song is definitely one of those songs that lives in the Santa's workshop of mm-hmm. artistic achievement. It's at the North Pole.
Only Santa's house is closer.
Only Santa's house is more perfect. Someday on this podcast, we'll discover what is the Santa's house of songs.
Where also, just to brag on what this song has achieved, I gotta say, whenever you become a theme song for anything, like, you've really done something. Like, if you wrote the theme song for West Virginia on purpose or by accident, I guess that's on purpose. You know, that the
country West roads. Virginia, country Mountain Mama.
Country Roads.
He's definitely
Country Roads. If you write a theme song for all people named Caroline, you know, that's going to go a long way for a lot of people. A lot of people out there know a Caroline or are a Caroline. But I got to say, to be able to write a theme song for all lovely days.
For all a type of a day.
A type of day that is very common.
So many types of days.
You walk out of your house, the weather's perfect, and you just think, dum, 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 dum.
Oh, yeah, you just start strutting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wake up, I feel a brisk breeze. Anytime I feel a brisk breeze, really, I would say the entire month of September where we live in New York City, every day of the month of September is going to be a lovely day.
Yeah, that's true. What is it about this song that's like a little autumnal? You know, that he doesn't say fall, but to me it does conjure that way. I felt a brisk breeze. Well, I feel a brisk breeze when I hear this.
It's funny, a lot of Bill Withers, I mean, you know, Lean on Me, but then a lot of his other songs are about unpleasant things, right? Which is kind of funny that he has Lean on Me and he has Lovely Day.
Okay, what do you have in mind?
Extremely pleasant songs, right? But he has Use Me Until You Use Me Up.
My favorite Bill Withers song, yeah, about getting abused and used.
Yeah, he has that other song.
Ain't No Sunshine, of course.
Who is he and what is he to you? Like, that's about, like,
yeah,
you
jealousy.
Find your woman's cheating.
And his first hit, Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone.
The woman's gone. Even Grandma's Hands is, like, happy, but there's, like, a very sad nostalgia that Grandma's no longer there. She might even explicitly be dead in the song. I can't remember. But the first song on his first album, Harlem, is talking about how hot it is and how much it sucks that it's hot. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we all know this is a little too hot in New York City in the summer. Even on a very nice summer day, you're kind of thinking, like, would be nice if it was like 5 degrees cooler. Like, yeah, it's nice at 87. What if it was 82? Mm-hmm. That could be a lovely day.
Yeah. We're already like off on the right foot here. Andrew's been really worried recently if we're doing too much hating on the podcast. You know, I'm squarely in the camp of like, we're doing the right amount of hating and loving. Some songs are deserving of either. It's okay to bring a real junker on the podcast and nitpick it.
Yeah, a real junker like Lovely Day.
Like like Rude by Magic, for example.
I love Lovely Day. Please, that was a joke. Please, please, please don't come after me. I'm not a hater.
Like Every Time We Touch.
Yeah.
A song so bad we had to punch it up twice.
Yeah, I hate that song.
But it's okay to love other songs, and then we go into a very difficult territory of how do we punch up this song that's already very close to
perfect.
Santa's workshop.
This is a perfect song.
Yeah, and has been recognized as such as society. Yeah. Everyone loves this song.
One thing that was amazing to me to read about Bill Withers.
Oh, let's get into it, baby.
Salt facts.
He has a really weird career because his career starts late, right? He escapes West Virginia. He grows up in West Virginia mm-hmm. by joining the Navy before he's 18. Joins the Navy. He moves to LA. While he's in the Navy, he gets obsessed with writing songs and singing. And he's like,
I want to know that story. I understand, like, we'll probably never understand that piece of his biography, but that friggin' rocks. He's a teenager in the Navy and is like, now's the time to start writing songs.
there is a really, really good Rolling Stone profile from him from like about 2015. I really recommend you read. Maybe we'll link it in the description even. I'll maybe highlight a couple things that are from that is just really cool interview with him. So he's out of the Navy. He decides he wants to become a songwriter. He moves to LA and he just gets a job in factories. He's working in factories, like at building airplanes. He's working at the Ford factory, and by his own, like his claim basically is like, this job was easy for me because his job in the Navy had been an aircraft mechanic. You know, like if you're an aircraft mechanic on the Navy, you got to be like, what is wrong with this thing? Figure it out, like beat on the part, like take it off, put on something else. We're like, now you just got these brand new airplanes. You're just putting the part on and putting it down the line, doing it again. Like, I'm sure it was a hard job, but he was like, for an aircraft, like other people were like having to train to do this job, I was an aircraft mechanic.
Okay, so he's in his late 20s.
He's in his late 20s. Earlier, there's working a factory job.
Not even using his mental energy. Yeah. He can sit around and think about songs.
Yeah, he's thinking about songs. He's recording demos on his own dime. And he eventually gets a demo in front of the right guy. A guy who's powerful in the music industry. And says, okay, we're going to take your demos and we are going to record an album out of them. Signs them. And hires just one of the greatest American musicians in the history of American music to produce it. Good news for Bill Withers. Booker T. Of Booker T and the MGs.
Sick. Is great move.
You know, Green Onions, you know, all that great Stax stuff. He's in LA now.
Yeah. And the guy that's behind all of the hits from Memphis Soul.
Yeah. The other thing that blew me away in terms of like, I guess this is Booker T's idea. This is very hip and cool to me, is who plays acoustic guitar in all those songs on the first album. That's like the hits like Use Me Up, I think, are on that. I'd have to double check that, but the guitarist on the whole album is Stephen Stills from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Okay.
Like Booker T. Jones can just pick up the phone and be like, hey, you guys are broken up right now, right? You're one of the best guitarists in one of the biggest rock bands. Like, can you come play on this? But the absolute sweetest story, like this brought tears to my eyes in the Rolling Stones article. Maybe Bill Withers is lying. Maybe he made this up. But he was like, I got off work one day. You know, I had like my lunchbox. I had like my sheaf of songs and I like went over to the recording studio to meet all these guys. I met Booker, like I was really excited. He was like, and then I asked, so who's going to be the singer? And like, it brings a tear to my eye for Bill to be like, I finally made it as a songwriter.
Oh, baby Bill.
Someone's going to sing my songs. He was 32, wow. You know, so he's like much older than a lot of people who were making it. And like, Booker
so he
T
assumed they were going to get some Steven, young.
Yeah. Yes. Someone star. Young, someone
a
who looked good.
Or
some
pop star.
Or maybe they're going to divvy them up and like, oh, this song's going to be for Aretha. This song's going to be for Gladys Knight. You're singing the Bill. And he had like be talked into it. Graham Nash came to the studio who was just to hang out. And he was like, you sound really good, man. You're going to do it. And
I can totally imagine him having to be talked into it. Just like being in your 30s and having a business head on just thinking, no, I'm going to sing these songs that I believe are great, but then it'll flop because who wants to hear me? And honestly, my honest opinion is that America kind of dodged a bullet on this because that could have happened easily. And Bill Withers does not have the most like beautiful voice. He's not a Marvin Gaye. He doesn't have like the vocal pyrotechnics. He's a good singer.
But there's something understated about his singing, but there's something so emotive about his singing.
Yes,
there's something emotive about his singing that makes you unsurprised that he grew up that he was born in a town called Slab Fork, West Virginia, joined the Navy at age 17, and is working in like a aircraft carrier assembly line. Like when you hear Bill Withers' voice, you're like, okay, that all kind of checks out.
And I believe he has the same type of understanding as I do as what is a lovely day.
Yeah.
What comprises a lovely
day? I would have done the same thing because, well, number one, I'm not as good a singer as him, so that would make more sense for me. But also, like him, I would have been like, no, I want this song to make guaranteed money from someone who's already making a lot of money on songs.
Right.
But as we know, you know, we live in the good alternate universe where he did sing the song. Right. I am mad at the possibility that he wouldn't have sung those songs.
Yeah, you're positing like classics. If Aretha Franklin had recorded Lean On Me or Use Me Up, maybe Bill Withers would have made more money in the end just on songwriting royalties. Or could have, but the way it worked out, it shook out the way you like.
Yeah, I don't think it would have, but at that point in history when it hasn't happened yet, of course you're going to think it will have.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there are just a lot of songwriters over the years that they try releasing singles under their name And it doesn't happen. A lot of alternate Bill Withers, even though they're super talented, there's an element of luck.
Now this podcast is part of the MCU.
This is getting really twisted. Let's think about a lovely day.
That's September weather.
That bass line is so iconic.
So good, man. I'll just pause every 8 bars or so we can just reflect on the glory that just happened. It's just so catchy. It's so pure. The bass line, boom, 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 boom. But you also have the rhythm guitar panned over here on the left. That's just keeping the rhythm going. The whole thing comes together in this perfect bed of a rhythm section before the strings even come in. And the strings are sort of like, I don't have to have the strings in this song. The song would work without the strings. But it's kind of like a signal about, like, this is a high production value song. Like, we're leaving some money on the screen here, so to speak.
I wanted to make this a $5 segment, Evan, but I could not think of a way to do it without giving you too many hints.
Okay.
I'd either have to give you too many hints and I'd lose $5, or it would be absolutely impossible for you.
Uh-huh.
But the person playing the rhythm guitar that you admire so much is Ray Parker Jr.
What?
Yes.
The Ghostbusters guy?
The guy who sings Ghostbusters.
I know Ray Parker Jr. is actually very accomplished session musician who then was given his chance to shoot his shot on Ghostbusters.
But did he write that song too? Was he the one that got sued?
Yes.
For sounding like Huey Lewis?
Yeah.
He was.
Because as this very show has discussed at length, they basically wanted Huey Lewis to do the Ghostbusters song. He refused. So they're like, let's get this very talented studio musician to pretend to be Huey Lewis.
To make a sound alike. And he just did too good of a job making a sound alike. And Huey Lewis did it.
So here he is playing perfectly sitting in the pocket.
Crushing it, yeah.
Ray Parker Jr. Oh, wow. All-star studded cast.
But, I mean, there's like, if I just asked you who's the session guitar player, no way you get it.
No, only I would have said Steve Cropper.
This track is so far away from
Ghostbusters. The only hint I could give you is like, he busted ghosts, and then there's $5 out of my pocket.
You already said Steven Stills playing for us, so I would have guessed that. My second guess would have been Steve Cropper because you mentioned Booker T.
Yeah, but Steve Stills, that's sick. That's 5 albums ago at this point. This is a 6th album Steven Stills is playing.
Let's not talk about the alternate universe of what we would have guessed.
Okay.
We're doing.
Let's talk about too many
multi.
Day.
There's too much multiverse in this episode. Let's talk about the universe we're in and which we're experiencing a lovely day.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes. And something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind.
Something without warning. It's I actually love a little bit of melancholy here.
Yeah. I love that keyboard, though. It's just popping in. The keyboard is mostly just, I guess, standing there, unless I'm not hearing something in the background. Just every once in a while, just going, beep, boo, boo. And then where we just stopped, it's like, the little arpeggio down. But it's so, I mean, it's just, I just love this arrangement because it just shows how much you can do with so little for some of the instruments.
It's extremely chill vibes in this studio. When this was happening, of course, they probably did overdubs, but I like to imagine that this is all being recorded live. And all of the studio cats are just like super appreciating what everybody else is doing, you know. The keyboard player is just like not even touching his instrument. He's just hanging out there. Just
that's like why he's touching his instrument so little. It's because he's pointing around.
He's finger gunning. He's out there finger gunning.
Nice bass solo, like nice bass riff. Nice guitar riff.
Every once in a while he's remembering.
He's just like serving props. That's what he's doing. He's just giving props to the other guys. Every so often he remembers to touch his Wurlitzer with a really fresh little arpeggio.
Yeah, he's still got the gun finger doing it, so he's playing a few notes because he's got to be ready to come back up, compliment the other musicians.
Listen, I want to own that a couple weeks ago, I talked about my pet peeve of songwriting when you start the song with, oh, I woke up this morning. And it's just, it's like the laziest move that almost always introduces a bummer of a boring song. And this is an exception, just like you at the time cited John Prine as having a great exception.
When I woke up this morning, things were looking bad.
Works for me.
This is another song where he used when as the way in. When I wake up in the morning and the sunlight hits my eyes.
How many songs start with the three words, when I wake or when I woke?
Yeah, if it's just like, I woke up this morning.
It is the exception to the rule, because if a song ends up being good or great, you're not really going to think about it too much, but whenever a song is bad and you started like that, you're going to be like, come on, they obviously didn't have an idea. They were like on a deadline and they were just like, oh, let's see, what do I say? Well, I did wake up today.
That's a good place to start.
I had a cup of coffee.
Yeah, sure.
But this works. Yeah. It goes somewhere.
I mean, the delivery, almost any lyric would work because Bill Withers has this like incredibly, he's not talking. He sounds so
definitely singing. You can
he sounds
singing.
So relaxed that it's almost like he's talking, but he's definitely not talking. It's just this. There's so much pathos in this relaxed.
Yeah, a little bit of fry pathos.
If I try to sing that relaxed, it sounds dumb.
Yeah,
but Bill Withers accessed this superpower of relaxed singing.
Let's think about that. Here we go. What else is going to happen on this day?
Then I look at you.
Oh,
doubled. Doubled that doubled vocal, okay.
Now we brought another party here. Now we're. Then I look at you.
Just look at you.
The horns showed up.
And the snare sounds good. Stop it there for a second, Evan.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's one thing I've got to say about this song.
Oof. Yeah, hit me with it. I'm in my spot right now.
I mean, first of all, like, you know, Bill Withers is almost like an like, you talk about art, and you talk about, like, oh, there's an outsider artist who, like, made it big. Bill Withers is almost like an outsider artist in terms of, like, he was in the Navy, he was working in a factory, then he was a songwriting savant.
Songwriting savant.
And a songwriting
savant who comes in from the outside
might not work within the same rules that you came up with when you're at Berry Gordy's Motown or at Stax Studios.
Okay, yeah,
and
yeah.
Like,
and he's like the Ben Franklin of songwriters because he had all these other jobs and skills and talents.
Yeah. But it's just like, who would
like,
do
oh,
this?
Oh, yes, I will fly a kite as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You're surprised. I'm a diplomat.
But who would what? Just have this one line for a chorus? A lovely day. And that's it. That's the whole chorus. You can't do that. If he came into Berry Gordy's Motown office with this, Berry Gordy would like kicked him out. He'd be like, go finish the chorus. You're being lazy.
No, you need a central metaphor. Is your lovely day like a heat like, wave or isn't
just,
it?
You can't keep singing the same melody. It's like it breaks. It's like just something you don't do in a chorus. But Bill Withers said, why not?
Was this under Columbia?
This was Columbia, yeah.
It was. So somehow, even though he did that, it got through the dumb Columbia guys.
Probably different exec.
So I love the writing, but there's one thing about this chorus, it gets to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I know Michael knows about because Michael does this sometimes to see if I'm in a good mood or a bad mood. You know, sometimes something happens to you and you realize it's like a perfect barometer of whether you're in a good mood or a bad mood.
Yeah, your own mood litmus.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's a mood litmus test where, like, I don't know, I wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
And I go into my kitchen and it's a mess from the night before and I'm like, oh, my kitchen's a mess from the night before. Well, if I take a step back, it's like, well, I'm in a bad mood today. If I go in and I'm like, well, I have 15 minutes to clean this.
I mean, you great, never love to see test. The dirty kitchen, yeah, yeah. But yes, it is a mood test.
Yeah, it's a mood test.
Yeah.
Michael, unintentionally, I think he did this I don't know why he started doing this, honestly, but sometimes it makes me so mad when he does it.
I didn't realize that.
But sometimes, when I'm in the right mood, it is so funny to me. Will you do it, Michael? Do it.
Do what?
Do the thing you do.
Okay, I think, all right, well, give me a key.
We don't even know what Andrew's talking about.
Key of E?
Play the key, Evan.
Okay, we're in the chorus.
Okay, yeah, I would just sing this chorus.
We'd be standing on a crowded subway platform, and Michael would start going.
What? I wouldn't do this on a crowded subway platform. I wouldn't do that I wouldn't shout at people.
On a uncrowded subway platform.
Or in a place where there aren't many people.
Okay.
Trying to defend myself here. Yeah, I would just start singing this chorus, but I would just like go under. So I would go like, a lovely day. And I would just like slowly go like a little, you know, cents are like a fraction of a step, like
flatter.
And then, you know, maybe
go a little harder for the listeners in the cheap seats.
Like more obviously,
more, yeah, obviously,
more obviously off the key. All right. Yeah. A lovely day. That'd be more obvious. So just for fun, because it's a long held out note, I would just make the note go off.
So you can tell I'm in a great mood today. because I'm laughing about it.
And I think this might have come from our dad used to. This isn't like a an express like game he would play, but just sometimes out of the blue, we'd be like on a long road trip. We spent a lot of time in the car because had some family living in places like Oklahoma. So, you know, we'd be in the car for hours and some song would be on the radio or something, or we'd be playing some CD. Like, let's say we were playing the Beatles, like Mother Nature's Son. And let's say the tune, the key is "Born a Poor Young Country Boy," and then he would come in on the next part and go "Mother Nature's Son," and Dad would just like sing horribly, like on purpose, and he wouldn't warn us about this, like on purpose. I mean, he wouldn't warn us about it at all. Like, hey guys,
was this a litmus test for you, or was it always funny?
Oh, it was always funny. It always cracked me up.
So, Michael, I mean, like, it's in the like. The reason it's funny when I'm in a good mood is because it's really in the song. Like when you listen to some of these long notes, I just want to say like, that one sounds really good. The first one in this first chorus sounded really good. And the second one sounded pretty under to me. He's a pretty flat.
You mean the doubled vocal?
Bill Withers is singing flat.
He's singing, he's really flat on it. Like, why didn't he just do a couple more takes? Why didn't the pianist or the music director pull him aside and say like, hey, let's take 2 days off and come back and let's just do the Lovely Days. Really, really get on the tone, Bill.
Mm-hmm. You want to hit it square in the center of the pitch.
Square in the center of the pitch. Maybe even a little above it, but not below.
I have a hypothesis. What if they did that and it was too phasey because it's too exactly the same, so it's not as good of a double quality?
There is no theory you can give me that will make
I
it.
I think the warm quality of his voice still sells it. Like, most people listen to this song and it just sounds fine, but it is true that the bass is hitting the pitch right in the center and on these long lovelies, a lovely day.
And it's, he's not like even there.
He's getting close to a quarter of a step flat.
And it's like a slide too. It's not just he lands a quarter step flat. It's like he starts and, you know, a little less flat and then he's getting flatter and you can hear it. And I don't know. I can't hear the song like everyone does, but maybe some people just don't hear it. I talked to one of our guests we had on, Arthur Meyer. He and I talked about the song one time, and he's like, man, the great thing about that song is how he just hits those lovely days absolutely perfectly each time. And I was just kind of like, I couldn't hold it in. I was just like, he doesn't. He's flat. He goes flat on them.
We're going to sound like the worst Grinches on this one. Of course, we also love the song, so we'll have to prove this. I'm going to post on Twitter, Instagram, or something, a spectrum analysis where you can see just like, this is like the bass is in tune and the vocal is south. This many seconds.
I got to disagree because I love the wide band of pitch, like the fatness it brings. And I think that just anybody, you know, who let's say would be like a millennial or even some of Gen X and younger, like their entire pop culture consciousness has existed, let's say after the kids' bopification of music, which I'm not talking
auto-tunification.
Yeah, the auto-tunification. I'm not talking about the 2010s and onward. I mean the 90s and onward, like ever since the mid-late 90s when all pop music started using autotune, but people didn't really know it yet. So everything's exactly in the center of the pitch. And from a certain perspective, that's kind of boring. Now, I'm not trying to be like I'm not trying to be an opposite Grinch and be like, kids, these days, the music's not good anymore. No, there's great music now, but there is a certain perfection in singing pitches that does get a little bit boring. And so I love listening to songs like that where they have a...
There's a warmth to music with imperfections. And when I put on Michael Bublé's Christmas album, and he's a freaking amazing singer. You can watch a live performance with him and say, like, why isn't he just doing this on his album? But it's all auto-tuned to be exactly perfect. There's a there's a coldness to us.
They even auto-tune the scoops on those. But that is something those audiences like. It's not hurting anybody.
A lot of people, we've talked to people about this, and they just say, I have no idea what you're talking about.
And a lot of that is because, again, like, our whole pop culture existence, it exists after this started. So you're not really, I guess if they're also rotating it with Bing Crosby and Nat King Cole, maybe they would hear a difference, but maybe not. Yeah. It's just the same to them.
Yeah. It's a pretty Grinchy thing for us to bring up, but it is also true.
Will you play the 2 days, just those, the end of the first day and the beginning of the second day in the chorus. And
on this first chorus.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the end of the first one.
This one's in for me. This is close enough. This one's starting to sag in a way that
makes my skin crawl a little bit, honestly. My skin crawls.
You can actually, you can hear it a little bit because it's doubled. You can hear him clash a little bit. Seems impossible to fake. I think what I'm enjoying about the story of this song is that his day is just not that great, but then he looks at you. He didn't just wake up to a crispy breeze and feel great.
It's a Shyamalan twist.
He woke up and felt pretty bad about this day. And then he got one look at you.
And the world's all right with me. The whole world is changing its perception of him. And I know
it's gonna be. This trumpet is so smooth.
Mm-hmm.
A lovely day. 10 out of 10. This one's good.
He got it pretty square there.
That's a 7.2 for me. 7.2.
It still makes me strut, though. Absolutely. I like that you are strutting down the street in your own mind when you hear the song. I'm shuffling down the street in my own head when I hear this beat, when I listen to it.
I gotta bring up how amazing that pre-chorus is, because I think the pre-chorus.
You mean the just one look at
yeah,
you?
Yeah, it makes this song, because the verse and the chorus harmonically are so simple, and all of a sudden the pre-chorus going to this different place. It kind of makes it so breaking out into the simple part. It's like more of an exclamation point. Where if the whole thing were just simple, then it would just be like, okay, I've been listening to like an extremely basic song. But as soon as you hit the pre-chorus, you're hitting these chords. What's happening is the bass is playing like a flat 7, and then the right hand, the chord is like a flat 6, mm-hmm. right? And so you're playing these complex chords. And when I say flat 6 and flat 7, that means it's not even like on the scale of the original.
Those are chords you should not even be playing.
You should not even. Not they even should be out of bounds.
But as Savant comes into the industry, he says, I'm playing these chords.
Yeah. Columbia would get you canceled for this, but you're going to say, no, you suck, Columbia, but I'm going to do it anyway. So yeah, he's playing these complicated chords that are different from the bass. Then the bass is playing a 1, which is the E, but the chord is like a flat 7. And then you're playing like a minor 4 with a 7 in it. Anyway, you don't. If you're listening, you don't have to know.
I'm listening and I'm loving it.
But then just know that you're going to a weird place, and then you come back to a very normal place with a bunch of horns and strings.
But the normal place all of a sudden sounds a lot fresher when you just hit the minor 4.
Exactly,
it sounds fresh with those brand new chords coming in on Just One Look at You.
Yeah, it would have sounded like. I mean, the song would have still been great, but it would have been a little more boring. And I think it's a great songwriting lesson to whether you write from a music theory place or not, just to go to a different place in these different sections, like a pre-chorus or a bridge, and it makes the rest of your song, it's like you're suddenly like breaking through a door into the sunlight.
Yeah, a lot of my writing, it's like the decision boils down to like, does this part need to be more different or more the same? And then once like you write it different, you're like, does this need to be even more different, or does this need to be even less more the same, like with bridge and chorus writing.
Yeah, when you listen to a song for the first time, like even if you know like the nerdy theory stuff, it's not like you're sitting around going like, flat 7, oh, now I like this. No, it just feels good.
Yeah, and so a lot it's just of the, like, the like music in hindsight. Training, like I don't have a lot, but it's like, oh, if I'm playing in the key of C and I know I need something different, I'm just like, well, what are three chords I don't usually play in this key? And I'll mess around with those till I find something good.
If I started hitting the piano with my elbow?
Man, Michael, it's good to have you. You're really showing off your aural skills.
That's why I took the aural skills class, right? So I could listen to Lovely Day and the first 10 times just like it, and then the 11th time be like, why do I like this, maybe?
I can't believe you took a class called aural skills.
Aural skills.
You really have to lean into the AU. You've got to lean into it.
Trust me, when we made jokes as 19-year-olds, we were not leaning into it. You know, you're coming from anthropology class, you're about to go to English class, and you got to go to your aural skills class. Listen to some songs and try to sing them back.
Did they call it aural skills at Swarthmore Evan? Was it aural skills?
No. They would. I think they saw the pitfalls of calling a class aural skills.
Oral skills.
Oral skills.
Gotta go hone my oral skills.
Yeah. For me, it was called ear training.
I think your teacher
a song and say yeah, it's a D.
I think your professors might have met an 18-year-old before.
Yeah, they knew about 18-year-olds. And what
my guess is that they had called it oral skills, but they just paid more attention. Maybe they like had the door open one day right before class and heard all the jokes as the students were pouring in. Like, time to really hone my oral skills of oral sex.
Time for me to go to dick sucking class.
And this Swarthmore professor was just like, ear training. I've got it.
Apologies to people who tuned in to hear a really family friendly song and just arrived right at the dick sucking class.
Hey, we don't know why Bill Withers' day was so lovely.
Yeah, just one look at you.
Maybe Swarthmore had a mole installed in the students to be among them, hear all the jokes. Which classes elicit the most jokes? Oral skills. It will henceforth be known as ear training.
Ear training. Yeah, because that's what we're doing.
Okay, the keyboards is doing more now.
Yeah, it's a little escalation. More keyboards in here. And when someone
else instead, people got mad. They're like, "You're just pointing, man."
And Bill's vamping a little bit.
Like, you're getting paid the same as us. Then I look at you. Ta-da. And the world's all right with me. I
just one look at you. Just one look is all it took. I know it's gonna
be. Okay, I'll continue my rating system here.
Okay. He went high.
Oh, all the way up to the E.
It's not double.
That sounds good to me.
Great belt. Oh. That's a hands in the air moment. Like you're cheering.
Not many choruses that change.
He didn't cut it. He didn't start again when the phrase started over. Okay, I have to pause it.
Not many choruses change the melody as they move forward in the song.
Especially when there's so little melody.
You're right. And so what we just heard is the longest note ever sung, possibly, certainly at the time, in pop music.
That was 18 seconds?
In like the hits. I mean, I'm sure there's like a song out there with the longer note, but in like the top 40.
Yeah, like in a top 40 song. Yeah. That was an 18-second note. It lasted for 16 bars. He sang,
"Day!"
And it was a soloed vocal, right? It's like the whole song was a battle between the two Bills. They're just fighting each other during the chorus. And then one Bill reigns victorious at the end of the song.
The one who thinks the day is lovely.
The other Bill is cast into the pit.
The one who's like, "Man, my day's kind of crummy. I wish I could look at her."
Yeah.
It's like, we're two Bills from the alternate universes. Only one Bill can make the last chorus.
And he sings a high E, not a high B. Mm-hmm. High B isn't even really a high B. It's just a medium B.
The high E?
The B.
The B
is
low.
The B isn't even the high B. It's just a medium
from
B.
From the earlier choruses.
In the earlier choruses.
A lovely day.
The B. Yeah, it's just a medium B.
That's a medium note.
Yeah, the E. That's a high E.
Yeah, speaking of which, I love when there's a famous singer who doesn't have an insanely high voice because they are far more rare.
Yes.
You know, where an E is actually high for him, but mm-hmm. he's just all over the top of the charts. He's all over the movie soundtracks.
Yeah, he's got a nice baritone.
Like, he's maxing it out at a high E for him. He's belting it at an E. Like, you are a bass profundo, Michael. Like, you have a very low voice. You could belt an E with ease, I think. Like, you could sing the song.
Really hard for me in college, but now it's easier.
But you could go to karaoke and sing this and hit the high E. You wouldn't have to go down to the B. And that's why he's the everyman. He's written a hit song that even the bass profundos, who usually have no song they can do at karaoke, can go to and belt out the high E at the end of.
Okay, I didn't plan on doing this, but I'm getting inspired in this very moment to offer a segment to the show. Then you get
$5. Wow, the tables are turned.
Separate from studying this song and listening to this song, completely separate from this, because I was talking about it with my kids.
Are you going
to
ask if I can sing an 18-second note?
I have learned what the world record is for the longest sung note ever by a human being, whether or not it's in the top 40. The Guinness Book of World Records, what is the longest note ever sung by a human being? You can each guess a time, and whoever gets closest, I will Venmo you $5.
Is it Price is Right rules or just like distance rules?
I don't care. I think absolute value. This would be value. Not Price is Right. Absolute value rules. What do you think is the longest?
Okay, I think we should have to. I think we should have to write down our answers because I don't want to say my answer first and anchor Michael.
I just honor system. Do you have a guess?
Wait, let me think.
There's no honor system in the psychology of anchoring.
There is an honor system. I wouldn't change, but just give me, you got to give me a second to think before you, or else I will.
Think of your answer, and then on your honor, you stick to your answer even after the other guy says it.
I wonder if they had a guy there that was ensuring he was like remaining on the pitch well, or if the guy could go flat.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it's a recently held record, so I've watched
it. Does it have to be one note, or is it just like
this is documented on a YouTube video. The setting of the world record was documented in video. It's singing a note.
And if he goes off the pitch, is it over?
I don't know, because this guy did not. I presume they would have given him a little leeway if he sagged or whatever, but he's pretty much, I watched it, he's on the note.
Okay, I got to guess. Okay. I won't change.
Okay. I'm going to guess 2 minutes and 16 seconds.
2 minutes and 16 seconds.
My guess was 3 minutes.
Okay. The correct answer is 2 minutes and 1 second.
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Right before you opened your mouth, I was sure it was going to be something in hours, and there was going to be like a circle breathing technique involved. Could you circle breathe while singing?
Andrew was closest. That's explicitly against the rules in this particular Guinness World Record.
For those of you who don't know, I used to be a brass player.
Can you even circle breathe in singing? I know you can circle breathe on an instrument.
Yeah, circle breathing is a technique where basically like you fill your mouth up with air while playing the trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're like puffed out cheeks, you usually don't puff your cheeks while playing the trumpet, but you puff them out while you're circle breathing, you close the back of your throat. Uh-huh. I was never able to learn to do this. It felt so unnatural to me.
Yeah.
You close the back of your throat, making your mouth a sealed pocket of air.
Yeah.
And then through your nose, you pull air in. This is so crazy to me, even though I tried for months to learn how to do it.
Cheeks.
So you're pushing out with your cheeks. You breathe in, you refill your lungs,
practicing,
and
right now.
Thus you can play an infinitely long note on the trumpet.
If you circle a didgeridoo player,
I could never do it.
Yeah, you play it for several minutes. Yeah, by circle breathing.
But circle breathing is disallowed in this contest.
So there was a 2 minute and 1 second note held by Richard Fink IV.
Was his
note coach.
Loud, soft, or medium?
It was of medium, moderate volume, and I was shocked to see that he sang it in a high falsetto.
That makes a lot of sense because it's less, kind of less breath.
Less air.
Yeah. This came up with me and my kids because they want me to try for the world record, but I couldn't imagine doing it in falsetto, which you're usually breathier, so you would expel air quicker. I really? Could never see it working that way.
I could go three times as long in falsetto than real voice.
You could.
Do you think you could beat the record, Evan? Are you going to go for it? Let's see. Let's hear it. Let's
Maybe
see
with
it.
Some training. Okay.
Let's hear your longest note.
All right. Okay, well, so now we're stunting. Now we're just stunting on the show.
For something. I'm going to set this stopwatch.
Okay, you set the timer.
2 minutes, 1 second.
You guys, you may, this is going to be longer than 18 seconds, so you may want to think of, I'm bragging in advance, so you may want to think of something else to talk about.
You're going to start laughing. You're going to start laughing. Hey, reset.
We can keep the discussion going.
Well, you're going to have to cut out just this part of the podcast and play it for your kids, not play the other parts.
Okay, if I go for 2 minutes,
okay,
then you got to send this into Guinness.
Okay, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
What's on camera?
We'll just play like, you know, let's just play like I got one look at you.
Okay.
After us feeling bad about this day.
Okay. Lovely day. Lovely day. Lovely day. Lovely day. Lovely day. Lovely day. Lovely day.
It's hard to talk about anything else while this is happening it's just filling my entire brain.
Is this good TV? Is this what they call good TV?
I can hear the sound of
You did make me laugh at the end. I've had maybe 3 or 4 seconds left.
Okay. I would say you came in how long do you think you sang that note?
18 seconds. I think that was an 18 second.
You're right.
18 second
you're right.
note.
You're right. It was 18 seconds.
That was an 18 second.
I could hear the sound of 500 people.
To me, internal to me, it felt like I tied Bill Withers.
Mm-hmm. You sang for 18 seconds. And you got as far as Bill Withers, but pretty far off the world record.
Why did I just do
good first that? Try though? Good first try, and I agree with your kids. You should keep practicing, and in a couple episodes, I think you can set the world record for longest note here on the podcast. Bring your kids.
Great. We could have as a guest on the episode the Guinness.
I was shocked that you just started screaming the E. I was sure you were going to go do the Richard Jenkins IV.
Richard Fink IV.
Richard Fink IV.
He had, obviously he'd been practicing this for a long time. This is extremely high stakes, but his was more like, it even had a slow vibration to it that I think was intentional. He sounded sort of like this.
That's secret circle breathing shit. He's doing secret circle breathing.
He wasn't circle breathing. He had it so dialed in that by the end of it, the final 20 seconds, he was slowly constricting his body to like obviously push in his lungs to get the last 5% out.
Just like push his hips up into his diaphragm, push it.
Because you can't break. The air can't accidentally stop and then restart. You know, like you have to nail it.
Wow. I think you can beat him, but I think the note you chose to sing that on was insane.
That's the only way I can do it. That's the only way I can do it. That you can let the air out slowly.
You got to pick a different.
You're right. Okay. I got to change my technique to do it the Richard Fink way.
Okay. Yeah. You'll
I did it the Bill Withers way. I did it the Bill Withers way. This was the Bill Withers way.
The Bill Withers
of singing long notes. How long was it?
It was about 49, 50 seconds.
50 seconds.
I mean, you're like.
My record is 70. Seconds.
Oh wow!
It's a long way off from 120.
How many times have you tried since your kids told you to do this? How many times have you tried?
Once.
So this is your second try.
Yeah.
The first try, you got 70 seconds.
They noticed it because their grandmother was visiting. My mother-in-law was visiting, and it like came up conversationally, and so everyone in the family. We had a contest by everyone in the family just started singing immediately. Ah, see who could hold it the longest.
So pure.
Because Nana thought that she could win because she has a really loud speaking voice, which is true. But so all the kids are out by 8 seconds.
But you know what else is not true?
What?
Well, you know what is not true? Not because the other thing is true. It's not true she can beat you. I have a lot of confidence in your ability to sing for longer than Nana.
So then it was just like a gag because... all the kids are done by 10 seconds. She's done by 20 seconds. And then I just went on for another 40 seconds beyond that. So then it's a funny joke in the family. And so the kids asked me to do it later. We timed it once. I got 70 seconds.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now, I want to try, but I feel like
right now?
Yeah, I want to try, but we should probably cut it.
You want to try right
Everyone's going to unsubscribe. Well,
we're gonna keep your try in, but let's put it after the credits. We're going to do a bumper of just your try after the credits, okay?
Okay.
So what I will say about your guys' achievements here, my achievement was 8 seconds. Michael's achievement, I'm not going to say what it was because you're going to have to wait till after the credits to hear it. Evan, was that about 50 seconds? Someone could have
Bill Withers way.
Broken Bill Withers' record. Singing for 18 seconds is not hard unless you start laughing.
Yeah.
And then you can't do it.
You can't do it, yeah.
But it's more about his iconoclastic just decision making to be like
about
you know
the
what
choice. No one could
I'm gonna
people
sing
could
one
sing longer but they wouldn't dare
note and that's just part of the song and other people's managers he didn't have a manager or their AR reps or their co-writers or their band would be like no that's crazy 18 seconds
yeah probably other people even were trying it in the studio because all these singers they love singing you know Steve Perry is out there singing a 30 second note in some take. And then the label guy went in there and just whispered in the engineer's ear and they just cut it off.
But the wonder here is not that he sang for 18 seconds. The wonder is that he wrote a song where he was like, this needs an 18-second long high E.
That he dared to do it.
It needs it.
That he this Neil Armstrong
Even if it's
singing.
A little flat. Even if it's a little flat.
Yeah.
Honestly, the 18-second was pretty good. Sounded good.
Yeah. It's one long note for a man. It's a giant note for mankind. Once he's belting it out on this high E, once he's lifted it up there, that's where we live for the rest of the song. And he's just declaring, just belting out to the world that it's a lovely day. Here we go.
The bass and the horns are like filling in all the spaces. To say the drums age so well too, like the kick pattern. I mean, you can see why this is one of the songs that doesn't get lost to the sands of time.
And just great sounds, like the sound of this. Really flat on that one. Really on the last one, so really flat. Like, why finish with a flat one? But the kick.
Because
and the
already
are you sure it's
out.
Not the
so
Doppler
good.
Effect of the song fading out?
Yeah,
I mean the volume effect.
No, it is the Doppler effect because to accomplish the fade out, they put the band on the back of a flatbed and just drove it away.
Flatbed truck drove it away,
why
and that made the whole band go flat when it
That's why the sound is getting quieter, but also it's getting lower because of the Doppler effect as the truck races away. That's how they did every fade out before
the
digital era.
Putting the band on a flatbed truck.
Yeah, before we moved into the digital era, we didn't have that technology. You'd have to drive the band away. Or the engineer takes the microphone and runs.
And you have to roll them down a hill because otherwise the engine will make too much noise.
Yeah.
I think he was just flat, guys. I think he was just flat on the long, last one.
You think he's just running out of breath belting these incredibly long notes?
He's not running out of breath. I mean, he's proven that he is a man with a lot of breath. And breath. It's just like if you're singing 20 high notes in a row, some of them just aren't going to be quite right maybe all the time. Just go back to the studio one more day. Fix the... I mean, what? Honestly, it was less of them than I remember. I think my memory has been corrupted by Michael's bit, where Michael goes, "A lovely day." There aren't none. There, Michael's bit has made me think they're all flat. There's only maybe like 3 to 4 of them in here where I'm like, "Ooh, that one just really gets under my skin."
Yeah, listening back to it today, so it's redeemed it a little bit.
But what if those 3 to 4 didn't get under my skin? Mm-hmm. And what even if the high, when he goes up higher, I honestly think those are better, the high E ones, because he's like really pumped himself up. He's like, got to sing that high E. It's some of the earlier ones that are on B's that are like just really sag for me. Really...
I'm surprised Dad didn't corrupt your memory of every single song by doing that car game.
Doing the car game.
Of singing every song off key. I'm going to defend this song to my dying day. That note is exactly where it's supposed to be.
On every time.
And it sounds
every
good.
Every time.
Yeah.
And you're one of the most famous people in the world at making notes be on the right pitch.
On or off. Tuning. Yeah.
And you're saying all of them are right.
Yeah, they are right because they are what makes the song sound so good.
Wow, that's a real. I feel like that's a real Bill Withers attitude to just sort of be like, you know,
it's right. I'm with Michael on this one. Although I'm agreeing with you that sometimes Bill Withers sings the note flat, but I'm with Michael that like the warmth of the song makes the whole thing work. It's in the right palette. Bill Withers is creating a lovely day for me. I have another mood litmus test for you, Andrew.
I see. I can tell I'm in a great mood because that was funny for me. Yeah. I didn't even have to fake it. Sometimes I laugh when you do the slap bass, but I'm faking it.
Yeah, it's you're crying inside for sure.
It's an act.
Yeah,
but
you're
today
mad.
I laughed.
Yeah, and good. I can tell. I can tell when you're faking it.
Yeah, we've known each other a long time.
Yeah, when your laugh has barbs at the end.
We've known each other a long time.
Oh, I know, my friend.
So how are we going to punch this up?
I think we have enough information for sure, and we definitely have some issues that like this song is inside Santa's workshop at the North Pole of songs, and once we start to move away from it, every direction is south.
Mm-hmm.
Every direction you could walk away from this song is south. So we definitely have one of our toughest tasks to date,
or easiest tasks if you just acknowledge that failure is your destiny and you just plow ahead.
Yeah, just Thomas Edison style, leap into your first failure so you can try again.
Yeah, what's that chess word? The chess word where every move is a bad move?
Checkmate. when you're checkmated, every move is bad. I don't know. There's some French word for it or something?
I think it's German. It's probably Russian. Like a Zugzwing. I was like, oh, I'm really a Zugzwing.
I'm really in a Zugzwing.
You have to make a move. That's the rules of the game. You have to make a move, but any move you make is making your position.
Yeah, this situation is
a Zugzwing. I think it's a Zugzwing.
To make the least bad choice.
I'm just going to say it's a Zugzwing and hope I'm wrong because we need more corrections. Guys, if we said anything wrong in this podcast or any other, send us the corrections. I really like doing them. I don't know why.
Okay, we're back. When we made a punch and what you have to do in a case like this where we're all sitting here just being hunky-dory and happy about this great song that we love, is instead of disassembling it and writing a completely new thing that improves it and makes it, say, for example, less rude, instead what you have to do is find out what is it that people love about this song? What is it that everyone is loving about Lovely Day? And do more of that. And do more of that. That
make
is a
it
way.
Even more lovely.
Even more lovely, even more great. And so I present to you the punched up version of Lovely Day.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited.
So fresh.
Still in a vibe.
What hath you wrought? What have
still
you
in
done?
The pocket.
A lovely day. Lovely day, lovely day.
You get right to it, baby.
Wow.
Oh, baby.
You didn't even have the string escalation.
So you get right to it, man. It's so good.
You didn't even have the other chorus like
here
the
comes.
Beat.
He's going to take a breath.
He didn't take a breath.
I didn't hear the loop. That was a clean loop. Wow. How long along with this go.
Man. Yeah.
Send this to the Guinness Book.
Everyone, and? That one note that everyone loves. When you hear this song and it gets to the belty part, everyone says, wow.
I'm confident this is the first ever.
Oh, the backing track changed, right? The backing.
Oh, we're back to the verse. Yeah. The band went back to the verse, but Bill's still holding it here.
This is the first ever Bill Withers remix.
Listen to the chord changes.
This is really tasty over the pre chorus.
This is your hit pre chorus. Use all your aural training, Michael.
Yeah, my aural training. The E really works over those chords, though.
And we're back to the second chorus, and there's only one note happening.
This is the first ever Bill Withers remix that'll be released, and people won't want to go back and listen to the original. And we'll say, this is the remix I needed.
This is the one.
It's so good.
This is a great song to prank the playlist with.
All sense of time is gone for me. I don't know if we've been listening to this for 2 minutes, for 1 minute, for 5 minutes.
We're a minute and a half into the one note.
Wow, this still hasn't broken the record of 2 minutes for a note.
It's broken the record for my feelings. Okay, here I put in something special for you, Michael.
Okay.
Right here.
Whoa, it's the reverse Doppler effect. Wow, I feel like we just ascended into the heavens.
Wow. Oh, it felt good to listen to it.
That's an incredible job.
Is that the length of the original song, what we just listened to?
No, it's actually a little bit shorter, but I did ensure that the length of that song, the punch-up that we just listened to, resulted in Bill Withers now singing the longest note ever sung by a human. That was 2 minutes and 5 seconds.
I do think we should have made it longer. I think we should have made it full length.
We should have gone
the
full 3 minutes and 45 seconds of the original Lovely Day.
When you get you finish a deep laugh and you finally are like, but you kind of know in your heart, that funny thing is going to keep happening or happen again. And then I'm really going to lose it. I was getting right when you went to the fade. I was getting ready to just have tears streaming down my face. We got to go full 345. Let's post the full 345 to the Patreon. Full 345.
Okay, we have the 2 minute version. I'll post this on the Patreon too, because people need to have every possible length every of possible Bill Withers version. Singing
We've
this.
Gotta do the full 345. And I'm gonna listen to it. I'm gonna cry tears down my face. We do post all the punches on our Patreon, patreon.com/Gregory Brothers. It's the best deal on the internet. And you're gonna be able to get the 345.
Yeah, you need every length
to... from Bill Withers.
You could be pranking your significant other in a great way with this song. When that intro comes in, everybody knows what's coming.
I gotta say, in punching up a perfect song to get worse, that got much, much worse, and then it went so long, it started getting better to get almost as good as the original song.
Mm-hmm. I felt the same way.
Almost, it got close to that Arctic Circle again.
If we had another minute and a half, I'm telling you, I think it would go all the way to Santa's house. It would go into Santa's bed, and then it'd just levitate off the roof of his house like Rudolph, above the North Pole.
It's going over the Falkland Islands. It's going all the way back around past the worst point. It's coming back up again. Latitudes, How many latitude jokes can we make? Or really just latitude facts?
That song's been punched up.
I feel like we've given you a little bit too much latitude. To latitude
too much latitude. All right, I'll stop it with the latitude. That's going to be your new test. Your new test of anger.
That should be my litmus test of you, is making that joke about latitudes, because that's a really bad joke.
Yeah, but I don't think it would ever make me angry.
Just make you bored.
Yeah, it would just make me bored.
That joke is so boring.
It would just make me unsubscribe from you in real life, just like I made people unsubscribe from this.
Unfollowed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Well, we're coming to the end of our podcast, and like we do every week, we're going to wrap it up with a little segment we call Walkin' Music. What is your walkin' in music?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Walkin' music.
You have walkin' music? 50 Evan? Seconds later. Yeah, I brought something. Let me see. My scenario is, let's say I woke up in the morning, the sunlight hit my eyes, and I started thinking about all the bad things are going to happen to me today. How everybody else that is my rival at work seems to be getting ahead of me. This day is not going to be lovely. And then I get one.
People named Andrew.
Rivals? Are we your rivals at work, or are your rivals at work like other YouTube channels?
In this scenario, I work at an airplane factory. Perhaps, let's just say, and the other guys in the line are getting ahead. You know, they were greasing the wheels at the union or something like that. Who knows? Anyway, my day's not looking too lovely. And then I get one look at you. Things start to look up. My day becomes more lovely.
Are you going to play the 345?
And now I'm just walking into my evening where I've had a lovely day just because of you. And I think, baby, let's go on a date. I've been thinking about you all day. Made my day lovely. And now
I want to spend the night with you.
This drum machine's hip.
This is... I usually don't dare play a walk-in song from the same artist that we just talked about. I Want to Spend the Night by Bill Withers off the same album just seemed like the perfect end to a lovely day. This Latin groove right in the pocket, so fresh.
But Mr. Jones... Who's going to come and sing the song? With you.
Oh, Bill.
Bill, you get to sing the songs. Okay, that's it. I Want to Spend the Night by Bill Withers. Andrew, did you bring one?
Okay, this scenario is I've just come up these stairs at the northwest corner of Union Square here in New York City. So I'm on Broadway and like 17th, right by the Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, perhaps you're on your way to HeadGum.
Yeah, and there is a really annoying woman dressed as Wonder Woman who's appears to be... some sort of carnival barker for some sort of company that's trying to take some of my money. And she's like, hey, do you have some time? Do you get a Con Ed bill? Do you receive a Con Ed bill in New York City? Hey! And as I turn to sprint away, this song starts to play. Hey, you get a Con Ed bill, don't you? Everybody gets a Con Ed bill.
I can see the slow motion pigeons flying away as you run through Union Square to get away. Then people are playing chess.
My books, like my laptop, is like flying out of my backpack, but I just gotta get away.
Yeah, you get freeze framed.
Ironically, I actually don't get a Con Ed bill. It's weird, but I don't. I don't get a Con Ed bill. But no one believes me. When people ask me if I get a Con Ed bill and I say no, they think
you're lying.
They think I'm lying, but they're like, you get one. Yeah. You get a Con Ed bill. I just need a minute of your time. No, my building gets the Con Ed bill.
This classic song really is making your scene very cinematic.
Yeah.
I like the way you've laid this out. But who's caught in the trap here? In your scene? Who's
in the trap?
You?
I'm in the trap because you know when you're in Union Square and you're running away from one person that needs a minute of your time, what are you running straight towards, my friend? Someone else who's like got a Greenpeace vest on and they say, excuse me, sir. Can I have a minute of your time? I love Union Square. I love it. I love getting off the
best
train in Union Square.
Best New York park.
Best New York City subway hub. But when you're there, you're caught in a trap between all the people asking for a minute of your time.
That's when you got to take your briefcase, bundle it like in your jacket, and be like, my baby's napping. My baby.
That's a great out. Good idea, Michael.
It would look weird to be carrying a baby in your jacket, I guess. More like you're a kidnapper than an actual dad. Yeah. But okay, let's envision a scenario in which I've been hired as a motivational speaker at a high school.
Okay.
So I'm just going to run out onto the stage and say stuff like, keep your mindset in the grind set, because if you assume you make an ass out of you and me.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And if you guys just graduate, if you go buy a house, that's an asset. And then if you NFT the house, then you're going to have an extra asset. You can sell that NFT for seven figures before you even sell the house.
Mm.
Use that to have a second mortgage, an Airbnb. Keep your mindset in the grind set.
Is this what they're teaching in high schools? This is what they're teaching in our high schools today?
I don't know.
I mostly remember don't do drugs.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to say. I mean, maybe I won't get hired again after this. This is just my mindset.
This is your first gig.
You just take the paycheck, man. Yeah. Go for it.
Well, you take the paycheck, then you make an NFT of the paycheck.
Yeah.
That's two paychecks.
Michael's mindset absolutely is the grind set.
So right before I come out, I just pick a song that goes 0 to 60 so people can get instantly hyped and they hear this.
What's up, guys, and welcome to another motivational speaking event featuring yours truly, Morco Benvolio, me. I'm going to talk to you about how to hustle harder than everyone else. I don't think Morco would really pick this song. Maybe this is a hybrid of Morco and me.
I like it, man. It's adrenaline. It's adrenaline, but it's also sunshiny and upbeat. You know, you can't be playing the sad stuff, and you definitely can't be playing stuff as controversial as metal to come out and go too hard for the high schoolers.
Yeah, and if I jog out, I gotta pick a song with, like, no buildup.
And this will give you some time to kind of, like, punch the air, do some flexing, like an improv team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would be like one of those guys. I like jog out and I like jump in place. I do the dance, which is really just jumping. When people are like, hey, you want to go dance? Well, you know they're just going to jump.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, yeah. I know the type of music that's playing at this event.
What's up, guys? Whether you like it or not, you're all entrepreneurs.
And you're all building a brand every day.
And I want your brand to be a graduate. Okay, that song was called Wake Up by Ozma.
I love that song.
It's a great pick.
Great pick, Michael. Good pick. I'm excited to get it into... There is a Spotify playlist. There's a couple of dueling ones from fans, from us.
Mm-hmm.
There's some Spotify playlists out there of all of the walk-in songs from us, from our guests.
At least the ones that are possible to listen to on Spotify. We've had some that are so obscure, they're only on SoundCloud.
We've had a couple people that are like... emailed us an MP3 and are like, I downloaded this from LimeWire in 2002. Please play it. And it's like, it was off a mixtape. It never made it to Spotify. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was very motivational to me, Michael.
Yeah. I'm feeling like I'm in a rise and grind for the rest of my day. I mean, it's almost evening here, but I'm like, maybe I should just go home and do some work, you know, open up Adobe Premiere, edit some videos.
I'm going to rise and grind, and I'm going to make one episode of this podcast every freaking week.
I just realized how bad lyrically that song is as a walk-in song, and it just reminds me how lyrics blind I am to songs, because
I know
a lot of people are like this, where your brain is just stays blind to the lyrics for like the first few dozen times you listen to a song, even if it's like, you're like, this is my favorite song now. Oh, I wonder what it's about. You know what I mean? I think that sounds ridiculous to a lot of people to have that notion, to even not even consider what it's about before you've picked it as your favorite.
Yeah, but I've done that for a lot of songs. You weren't learning about lyrics in Aural training.
Yeah, you're learning about the chords and the notes.
Trainings. Yeah,
yeah. That reminds me of when, so I was obsessed with, like, at one point, and still there's like one of the greatest intros ever, the Jackson 5 song, I Want You Back. It was one of my favorite songs, and I probably heard it like 100 times. And then I was like, oh, what's he saying in this song?
Yeah, what's
and
this
then
song about?
I was like, wait a minute. This protagonist who's singing this song is a jerk. Like, what's this what's this guy's problem?
Yo, he's a child.
And he's a child. Yeah. I can excuse a child for being a jerk because, you know, it's not like they're a 30-year-old
if
jerk.
If you ever want to become obsessed with the lyrics and nitpicking the lyrics of songs that you love but that you've been lyrics blind to for your entire life, might I suggest becoming the host of a podcast where you look at the lyrics of songs every week?
You have to analyze them all.
You have to analyze them every week, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Michael...
Lovely Day is a great example because I never really, you know, I just thought it was about a lovely day, and then today we really dug into the lyrics, and it's really about how any day can be lovely when I'm with the hypothetical
you. Part of the day is bad.
You.
Part of the day is bad. Like the part where he woke up, that was bad.
Yeah.
The sunlight hit his eyes. He didn't
sunlight
like that.
Blasting him in the eyes. Yeah, blasting him in the eyes. And he's thinking about how the day ahead is going to stink.
Yeah.
So but changed.
I forbid you guys to end the podcast yet because I have a surprise.
What? I was wrapping it up. I was one sentence away from wrapping it up.
We're about to talk about your Twitter handle.
You could tell I was segueing. No.
I have a little surprise, which is that I punched up this song again. So far up, it went way down and made the song way worse. By taking the song and adding another song and making, really ruining both songs.
You blursed it.
I was sitting around, I blursed it. I thought, what genre and song is like the opposite of this.
You did this with Just the Two of Us, the Grover Washington Bill Withers song, and that was Just the Two of Us with Wake Me Up Now,
with
right?
Evanescence.
Yes.
Wake me up now!
Yeah, and we did both directions.
So you've ruined another
Bill Withers song. I thought,
what did this poor man do?
The audacity to come on our show and do a punch down.
So like, you're not going from the North Pole to the South Pole, you're going from the North Pole to hell.
Yeah.
That's where the song is going.
Oh, yeah. All the way down into space until achieve the star, which is hell. So I thought, what is the antithesis of this? It's got to be number one, not chill at all. Bill Withers, like very energetic, yet chill voice that conveys a lovely day. I got to pick something unchill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And number two, it's got to be very precise and tuned. And what genre do I think of with really precise tuning? Pop punk from the 2000s.
Oh, I was sure you were going to say Nova Brado. Christmas.
Nova Brado. He has vibrato sometimes, probably. So it sounds less tuny because there's actually, you know, the wave is doing this instead of this. If you're singing, so if you're doing this, and I know Michael Bublé doesn't do that, but that's the sound. That's like the sound doing this. But if you're going like, that's like straight tone, right? So yeah, I was like, what is the most straight tone tuned vocal
something,
I can find?
Something like Good Charlotte-y or like Green Day-y.
I'm terrified.
I'm going to make you so mad.
Let's hear it.
I can't wait.
Let's hear it. Does Evan have it?
I snuck it onto there.
Okay.
It's called A Lovely Day MG.
Okay.
Punch
okay,
down.
Okay, here we go. This
punch
is
down.
Exciting.
Punch down the jam.
It's not every day somebody can come on the show and surprise
comedy,
us.
You're only supposed to punch up. You're only supposed to,
this is the
to attack those above you in social standing. But now we're punching down.
Here we go.
Yeah, it does sound like punching down.
I like this.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mess with the iconic bass line. I'm going to leave it. I'm going to leave the iconic strings.
Oh, my skin is crawling already. I'm so nervous.
This feels good. This feels fine.
I'm so nervous.
We're fine. We're swimming in the water. And I'm more than you bargained for, yeah. I'm tired of telling you anything. More than here. That's just who I am this week. Lying in the glass next to the mausoleum. I'm just nothing your papers. Oh, no. Wait till the pre-chorus. Listen close. It maps so good over those weird chords. Oh, get ready. Hold on to your seat. Yes.
Bill Withers is still in there. Lovely day. Lovely day. And he's like on the flat three, even though they're going.
This is supremely stupid.
I just love how precise the. I can't sing that note. Isn't it messed up how I'm just dying to be
here? It just keeps going.
The song keeps going. It doesn't stop. Make a name, drop a this is my favorite part, I think. Although, if anyone is listening to the podcast that knows how I can get the actual isolated stems, I can make this way better. Because all the vocals were mashed together. I couldn't separate them.
All the lead and background vocals were smashed together. Yeah! Oh, when the hook hits.
It's so horrible.
Bill Withers' rhythm section making everything work. I'm making Fall Out Boy sound great.
Hey, they already sound great. I'm sorry to both of these bands for ruining both of these songs. Just two supreme songs. You know, they're songs of an era, of two eras. And they're both made so awful by this.
Oh, I stand for this one. But you made it much worse, but it was a blessing and a curse. It was a blur.
Oh, man. I'll give you guys the file.
It was delicious.
I would love to, like, I just want people to surprise people with that track and see how mad they get. You must be so mad right now.
Can we save this?
I'm not going to make it out of here.
Save this and put it on the show Patreon. Go. We'll put it on our Patreon because you could have both of these, and you could surprise someone at your house by playing the punch up with the longest note in human history, and then they'll be expecting that. So then the next time you go, you could surprise them. Lovely Day beat comes back in, and it's Fallout Withers.
I mean, Sugar We're Going Down was like the song of that era. And I gotta say, like, I really want to make that even better. When I say better, I mean worse, like more clean, because I couldn't get the vocals I got were all mixed together, so I couldn't make it as good as I could.
Yeah, the lead vocals is there mashed up with the, you can't separate it from the
yeah,
background
and when
vocals.
They do the double octave, that's why when I'm tuning it over the borrowed chords, which they don't sing over chords like that, so I had to move them around.
Yeah,
like,
I could tell you were doing a lot of lifting to make that work with the
all the scoops.
Just one look at you pre-chorus,
and I had to find an unplugged version so I could separate the singer from the like all those suspended, those great backgrounds they do in Sugar We're Going Down.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you don't need to get into all the weeds. I'm just begging. I'm pleading. Any listener of this who happens to be a member of Fall Out Boy, a mix engineer for Fall Out Boy, a friend of them who can ask, please, just send them the isolated vocal takes.
Yeah.
So anyone, I can make that as horrible as
anyone
possible.
Anyone that is between 0 and 1 degrees removed from Fall Out Boy that's listening to this show, get in touch with us. Are you Fall Out Boy's garbage man? Can you go through their garbage? Find the master
find
tapes?
Find the USB stick?
Yeah. Find the USB stick that has the stems on it? Then we could really take this one up. I don't know. It's already pretty high up, man.
That's another very Saul Goodman thing. It was on the street. It's in a public place.
Yeah, so, these multi-track masters are in the public domain now. I just found them. I found
Saul
them in
Goodman
the alley.
Saul Goodman got away with it again.
I still can't talk.
I'm still reveling in how horrible that is.
You nailed Andrew right in the funny bone.
I still can't talk. I just laughed.
This is even funnier to Andrew than his own long note that made him laugh.
This episode, I feel bad for being so boring this episode because I just love this song that I just want to heap praise on the song.
Yeah,
but
does,
I feel
does
like
liking just, the song make you more boring, maybe.
Maybe, but just giving you this one contribution,
I'm gonna faint when I try to stand
might be
up.
Worth it.
You nailed it, man. You nailed it. Next time we'll bring you back. Yeah, we'll bring you back for a song that we all hate.
Good. Use your aggressive feet. Let the hate flow through you.
When we have you back, we'll have a hate fest. But sometimes we have to have a love fest here on the show, you know? We did it today, and it resulted in the rarely seen double punch. We did it!
Let's punch it. Punch it up the jam, punch it up.
Wow.
You've been listening to Punch Up the Jam.
That was a HeadGum original.
A lovely day.
It's beautiful.
Is he going to beat 50? That's the question. I don't care about 2 minutes 15 seconds. Just, is he going to beat Evan?
You're rooting for him to beat me.
He's cycling like Richard Fink the Fourth.
He's got the Fink method dialed in.
Think about crushing your diaphragm with your knees.
I'm getting pissed.
About 41 seconds. Oh, you were close taking that one.
What was Evan? Like 50, close to 50?
You were pretty close, man. Some practice, you can make it. That was great.
Am I red?
Michael's like,
my face go red.
I sweat.
Yeah. Oh. Woo!